please remain standing as we read our Bible text for this morning and begin to bring God's message. As soon as I read the text and pray this morning, you may be seated, and we'll try to bring the message the Lord's laid on my heart. One thing I'm learning is that I'm going to have to start leaving the saying up to some of you younger folk. The many years of barking out preaching and sitting behind the microphone and doing a number of radio marathons has just about done the toll on my voice. And I find it hard to reach some of the notes that I used to be able to do. And I croak out a little bit. Certainly don't want to do that. But when you've hooped and bawled and hollered as much as Brother Hall has, why, your throat is going to have a little change in it also. I've noticed mine getting a little rusty down through the years. But I still love to sing with a song in my heart. You know, and I love to have a free spirit in the house of God. As long as it stays biblical and in order, I love to have a free spirit in the church house. And that's right. When things get all bound up and tied up and balled up in a knot, it's really hard to worship God. In fact, it's impossible to worship God. And it's hard to sing. It's hard to preach. It's hard to really get too much done when things are tied up in a knot. But if we can have a free spirit, need it higher, Brother T? All right. Am I going to preach through my throat? Maybe he needs to turn it up a little bit back there. Is that all right now? You hear me all right? Amen. All right. I thought that's what he was talking about when he was doing this slide. I thought there were men. I thought, well, he's come down with Parkinson's or something. What was going on there for a minute? He was giving me the high sign. But it's good to have everybody in the Lord's house. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible this morning to Luke chapter number 22. Luke's Gospel chapter number 22. I preached out of this passage of Scripture a few weeks ago on the dangers of following afar off. And I'd like to take the same passage of Scripture and try to bring another thought from it that the Lord laid on my heart a couple of days ago. And I began to put some thoughts together in my mind during the marathon and went home last night and set up until I got things kind of ironed out with a few thoughts down on a piece of paper that I hope the Lord will be a blessing to us. I want to begin reading in Luke 22 and verse number 54. The Bible says, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with them.'" I'm not going to preach this thought, but that maid earnestly looked upon him. I mean, she sat there and took a little while to gather her thoughts together and put thoughts his face in her mind from another time. And she earnestly, the Bible said, looked upon him, and she came to the conclusion, "This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' Those eyes burnt through the heart of Peter and melted him. The Bible said, and Peter went out and wept bitterly." May the Lord add his blessing to that reading of Scripture. Our Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the gathering together of the people of God in this place today. I'm grateful, Lord, for the songs of Zion that we've been able to sing, for the fellowship we've enjoyed. I thank you for our visitors today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having a copy of the Bible. I thank you for the privilege of preaching from the Bible. And I pray that you'll bless me this morning that I might be a blessing. I pray, Lord, that you'd help my body that's tired, my throat as well. I pray above and beyond that that you would spiritually this morning unctionize me for the preaching of the Word of God. Grant me the liberty that I need and the power to proclaim the Word of God, and may the Holy Ghost brood over this place today. Lord, may conviction be brought upon the hearts of the unconverted, that sinners might be saved, and Lord, that thy people may find the place of in their heart to rejoice and to praise and worship you because you're worthy of that. Again, I pray for liberty of clarity of thought. Have your divine will and way. I want to glorify your precious name. We'll thank you, Lord, for what is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text verse for this morning I find in verse number 54, the very first verse that I read, where the Bible said, "Then took they him and led him," that is the Lord Jesus. "They led him and they brought him unto into the high priest's house." And notice the Bible said, "And Peter followed afar off." Now, I don't intend to preach on Peter following afar off this morning. That's really not my message at all. But God's given me this thought from that verse that I want to try to preach on this morning. Nothing between me and my Savior. I laid the hymn book down here beside of me because I think on page 427 is the song, "Nothing Between Me and My Savior." And I've wondered this morning how many of us here have things that stand between us and Him that would hinder our fellowship. I know that sin can stand between us and our Savior and can hinder our fellowship with Him. But there's a plurality of things, really, that I could preach on this morning. Amen. Things that I'm confident that are between us and the Lord that would hinder us from having His fellowship, or would hinder us or deprive us of His power. Deprive us of His blessings in our life. And there's not a one of us here that does not need the blessings of God upon our life. Our prayer every day ought to be, "O Lord, bless Thou me." Amen. And, "O Lord, bless my soul in this land of sin and sorrow that I'm living in." You know that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. And you realize today that God desires to bless you, I really believe, more than we realize it within ourselves. And I'll guarantee you, God has got blessings that brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. Many that we know nothing about, really, as a child of God. I'll tell you, our God is able today. I quote this verse so much, but I want to say it again. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think. And that is according to the power that worketh in us. And God has, now listen carefully, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And the Bible said that He loadeth us down daily with His benefits. And so God wants to bless us. But I'll tell you, when we allow things to come between us and our God, I'll guarantee you the blessings can be cut off. God is able to put a wall between us and His blessings if we put a wall between us and our God. And He'll cut those blessings off. Now, here we find here in the previous verses, those verses leading up to our text verse here this morning, we find the betrayal of our Lord Jesus by Judas Iscariot, and of course his arrest by the chief rulers of Israel. And then in the passage that I read unto you, we find the following sequence to that story, which is, of course, the denial of Peter of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did he deny the Lord once, nor twice, but three times. But I want to say again, I've said it a number of times preaching on this thought about Peter, that failure is not final. Amen. And I guarantee you we may fail in our Christian life, but our failures are not final.
Amen.
Though a good man fall seven times, yet the Lord will lift him up.
Amen.
And our failures do not have to mean finality in our life. So many folks fail at one little old thing and they sit down and give up on God and stop serving God. When all along God is able and will lift us up and reestablish us and give us enough grace to go on serving God if we'll just let Him do that. And Peter here has denied the Lord three times. Now, I would suppose even that although he's denied him three times, that even here we can find a reason to commend the faltering and failing apostle, a man by the name of Peter.
Amen.
Although he has denied the Lord, there is yet room to find something here that is commendable in his Christian life. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, I'm getting ready to show it to you. I'm getting ready to show it to you. The Bible said in our text, and Peter followed. And Peter followed. I know he followed afar off, but we can't get away from that thought that Peter followed. And by the way, there's no text that I can find anywhere else in the Bible anywhere that tells me that anybody except Peter and John followed the Lord into this judgment hall. But we can commend Peter. He was following afar off, yes. But he is commendable because he was at least following our Lord. The Bible said in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said unto Peter himself, "To follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And here in the text, Peter is still following. But he is following afar off. In like manner, Christ commends his disciples in Mark 8:34 to take up your cross and follow me. And I'd never seen this until I started studying for this passage of Scripture. The Lord told his disciples in Mark 8:8 to take up their cross and follow him. But as of that time, or even as the time here that I'm reading from, the Lord had never taken up that cross.
Amen.
And so they're not accountable for that cross until the Lord takes up his cross.
Amen.
But I want to say that within the next few hours, both the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter will be called upon to take up that cross and follow Him. I wonder this morning how many of us here have really taken up our cross and come after Him. I'll tell you, there is a reproach to bear if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That cross that He died upon is an emblem of suffering and shame, as the songwriter said. And there's not too many Baptists today that are willing to suffer, and there's not too many that are willing to be to bring shame upon themselves for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, we live in a society today that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate the cross that He died upon. And if you try to tell them about the cross, they'll think that you're some kind of a moron.
Amen.
Amen. And they'll mock you and scourge you.
That's right. Amen. And they'll poke fun at you because you are a Christian. I want to say to you young people in here today that if you are going to make it as a child of God, you might as well brace yourself because there is a crowd out there that are your peers, and they are going to do all they can to discourage you from serving God. Especially you young folks that went out into the workforce and got a job. I'm telling you, you're going to meet young people on the job that will not serve God, and they're going to scorn you and mock you if you try to live right. If you dress different than what they do, they'll mock you. If you use a different language than they do, they'll scorn you. If you try to live right and tell witness for Christ, they will divide themselves and move away from you because they want nothing at all to do with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that's right. And he said to take up your cross and follow me. And here in our text, Peter has followed Jesus to the cross. As of yet, neither Peter nor the Lord had taken up. But I'll tell you the hour. But that hour for both of them was approaching very rapidly. So then what is the problem here with Peter? The Bible said, and Peter followed. What is the problem? He's following. Come on and listen to me, and I'll get to the message in a minute. But he is following afar off. He is not abreast with the Lord. He's not walking with the Lord, abreast with Him where He ought to be. You know, Christ is our daily companion. And He expects us to walk daily by His side, not afar off. Now, I'm telling you, some problems can develop in your life and my life if we're following Him. Oh, we can be commended for following Him. And some of us here today can be commended. We're following Him. We're in the house of God. But I wonder where we're at following Him. Are we abreast with Him, or are we following Him afar off? Now, I'm preaching on nothing between me and my Savior. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. It doesn't take a wise man to understand that the greater a distance there is between two objects, the more you can get between them. Are you listening to me? And so Peter is following afar off, and therefore he has allowed some things to come between him and the Lord. May I say, following afar off, the devil and sin will get between you and your Lord with real ease. But we ought to be so close to our Lord that if the devil's going to get in there, he's going to have to squeeze in there. I'm talking about, amen, don't let him get in there with ease. Make him squeeze if he's going to get in there. Come on in the house and listen to me a little while. I'm telling you, if you're following the Lord afar off and there is a distance between you and your God, you're going to allow things to come between you and your God that will rob you of your blessings of life, your joy of the Lord, and the power of God in your life. That's right. How close are you following Him today? Somebody said, I'm in church. Well, that's good. Somebody said, I put my tithe in, that's good. But I wonder how much you're reading your Bible. I wonder how much you're praying. I wonder if you're really worshiping God in public and private. I wonder when was the last time you witnessed for Him. Come on in the house now. How many things are between you and Him? How much sin is there? Now, I didn't even got to my text yet. I'm going to preach my text. How much sin between you and your God? And by the way, there's sins of omission as well as they are commission, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder where some of you was at during the marathon. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, we didn't need to be here. I thought it was a church-wide participation. I thought we're one body united together for the cause of Christ, doing our best to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. And I'm telling you that anything this church does as far as getting out the gospel requires the body of this church to be here. Amen. I won't say this, and I hope it don't sound too off color. I hope it won't. But I was sitting out in the fellowship hall eating that fine meal yesterday after I'd already ate three pieces of fine pie in here and some chips and stuff, and I already felt like I was bloated, you know. But I was going to go ahead and eat anyway. And I knew my wife was out there, and I kind of got to looking around for her. And I looked, I couldn't see, she was some people between me and her, and I could not see her face or her head, but I could see her body. And I said, that is my wife. You know how I knew her? I saw her body. Now, I want you to listen well, ladies and gentlemen. If I know my wife's body, and the church is the body of Christ, you mark it down. He knows his body just as well as we know our wife's body. He knows everything that's going on in the house of God. He knows where the sin's at in the house of God. He knows who is walking with God and following God. And he knows who is following him afar off. Amen. That's right. Praise God, we ought to be on the firing line. Hallelujah. That's right. We ought to be on the firing line, shouldn't we? Amen. Soldiers of the cross. Now, I want to mention some things that, though, I believe without a doubt, are some things that had come between Peter and the Lord here in this sequence that I read from. And I'm just going to use it. I'm not going out of this sequence. I'm going to use the text, and I want you to stay with me, because I'll guarantee you it will hit some of us that's in here today. And it may surprise you what it is I'm going to preach on. I will say, number one, the very first thing I believe that come between Peter and his Lord was one little four-letter word called fear. F-E-A-R, fear. Oh, yes, the Lord had just been arrested by the high priest and the chief rulers of Israel. Amen. And had been carried into the palace. And there is Peter following afar off. And one reason is he don't know what's going on in there. I really believe that Peter may have thought in his mind, if I identify myself with him, the same punishment he gets, I'm going to get also. And I'm telling you, fear, I'm confident that Peter denied the Lord for one reason, because there was fear in his heart of being identified with the Lord. Is there fear in your life in being identified with the Lord? I'll tell you what I thought about. I thought about Gideon. When the Lord gave Gideon, I believe, that 30,000. And the first thing old Gideon said to that crowd was, all of you that are a fearful heart and afraid, go on back to your families. Now, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no place in faith for fear. Faith is going to have to overcome fear if we're going to walk close with God. Amen. And have God's blessings in our life. Our faith is going to have to overcome the fear that we have in our hearts and lives. That crowd, and I'm going to tell you, thousands of them went back because of fear. They had fear. Now look here, fear, being fearful of unknown certainties. Peter was uncertain about what was going to happen up there. And so there was fear in his heart about it. Now I'm getting ready to bring this down. I want to, amen, I've got to preach this because of our meeting tonight. But I guarantee you, and some of you in here, there's fear in your heart about what we're doing in the ministry, and you're afraid because of what we're doing in the ministry and the possibility of the money that we're going to have to borrow in order to get out the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and you're afraid and have fear in your heart that we'll never be able to pay that money back. Come on in the house, huh? You say, well, preacher, I just don't know what'll happen up there. Praise God, I don't know either. And I said, I don't know how WHAJ is going to turn out. Praise God, I don't know either. But one thing I know, God give us a green light. And if God gives us a green light, better not put on the caution light nor the red light. Better pull out the stops and go on and walk with God. Because God knows the uncertainties that lie ahead. We may have never been along that way before, but I'll guarantee you God's been that way. He's not a stranger to what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, His all-seeing eye looks down upon that pathway of faith that we're trodden in, and by grace, God leads His dear children along. Hallelujah. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if we'll let God lead us, I'll guarantee you we'll always come out in the right place. Amen. And some of you is fearful and afraid about what we're looking to do. Well, how are you going to pay the money back? Same way we've been paying it back. The question I would ask some of you is, since we bought WAJJ, has it cost you a dime more than it was before? See, folks, I'm a pastor. I've got a priest to lead the church. That's exactly what I'm doing this morning. Amen. And I've already hit home with some of you. I've already busted your little balloon this morning. Amen. That's right. Fearful of uncertainties. What will happen if? And that is natural. To be fearful of the unknown. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And we got to learn to trust God for something. When old Peter got out of that ship and started walking on the water, I don't think he really knew what he was getting into. When he saw those waves and the wind boisterous and he began to sink, I don't believe he knew what he was getting into. But I'm going to tell you, hey, he got out and faced the uncertainty. Somebody said, well, he started to sink. Yeah, but praise God. He might have started to sink, but I'm telling you, God brought him out. Amen. God brought him out. And so fear, being fearful of the unknown certainties, being fearful of unbearable consequences. What run through Peter's mind? I believe Peter said, you know, if they crucify him, they might crucify the whole crowd. And I'm telling you, folks are afraid of the consequences of following God in the hard times. May I say this to you as your pastor? We're living in some of the hardest days that the church has ever seen. But I'm telling you what it says in the book of Daniel. They that know their God shall do great exploits. And friend, I'm telling you, it doesn't say whether in the last days or the early days. It just says if you know your God, you'll do great exploits. And I want to know how many in here know their God. Amen. Do you know your God today? Hallelujah. Do you know you've been to Calvary this morning, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know that you're following Him this morning just as close as you can get to Him? If you are, then there's nothing that can stand between you and your Savior. Amen. That's right. Fearful of the unknown certainties and fearful of unbearable consequences. I'm going to tell you another thing I believe Peter was afraid of. I believe he was fearful of the unwilling commitment. I don't know it. Oh, surely you're one of them. Your speech bewrayeth thee. You're a Galilean. I said I don't know him. Well, I'm confident I saw you out there. I believe you're the guy that cut off the ear of the servant out there. I said I don't know him. And at that time, Peter began to cuss. Begin to swear. Now I'm telling you, hey, it was because of his commitment to Christ. And some of you in here need to make fresh commitments to Christ. Amen to God. That's right. Instead of being, hey, we're committed to everything under the sun but Christ. We're committed to fishing, and we're committed to hunting, and we're committed to our job, and you ought to be committed to your job. But I'm telling you, your job, your family, and your church ought to be the three most important things in your life today.
Amen.
I wonder if we're really committed enough to Christ, or whether we fear Him. Whether we fear Him. What the word fear means, it means a painful emotion or passion. Excited by an expectation of evil or apprehension of impending danger. Well, Brother Hall, we can't buy that station. We might go down the drain, fearful of impending danger. Oh, preacher, we can't. It'll be too much of a workload, fearful of impending danger. That's right. Folks, look, come on in the house now. We look out in the future and imagine things that will happen, and 99% of the time, things that we imagine will happen will never happen in our life. Amen. That's right. The devil will plant them old thoughts in your mind. That word means fear. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Can't do that. We can't do that. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the revenue. We don't have the ability. Well, we may not have the revenue, and we may not have the manpower. We may not have the ability. But I'll tell you one thing we have got. We've got God on our side. I'm telling you, we just need to let our faith overcome our fear, make a fresh commitment to God, and say, by the grace of God, we're going on and do great exploits for our God. Amen. Oh, Peter sat down there and began to warm his hands and was fearful. Fear comes first, then dread, then terror, and then fright. In that order. And that word also means to feel anxiety. Amen. On account of some expected evil. Notice it said expected evil. Amen. You know, John was in there with the Lord. Amen. In fact, he came out to the door and let Peter in. Amen. And nothing happened to Peter. Amen. But yet Peter was following. Nothing happened to John, rather. Amen. And yet Peter was following afar off. I won't say number two, and I'm trying to hurry. Not only would fear come between Peter and his Lord by following afar off, but I believe Peter let his feelings come between him and his Lord. Is anybody listening to me this morning? I'm trying to preach. It's not the easiest I've ever done, but I'm trying. I believe he let his feelings come between him and his Lord. Peter's fear led him to depart from faith, and he began to depend upon his feelings. Now, I'm going to tell you, you better be careful when you're living by feelings rather than living by faith. Let me show you what happened to a man by the name of Isaac. When Isaac was going to bless Esau, Jacob's brother, here's what Isaac said. In Genesis 27:21. And Isaac said to Jacob, he thought it was Esau, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." Amen. Now I'm going to tell you what he done. He felt Jacob, and because Jacob had put that goat hair on his arms, he thought that was his son Esau, and he pronounced a blessing upon Jacob that belonged to Esau, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, and it was all because of feelings. Now, I'm here, well, preacher, I just don't feel good about this. It don't make a flip how we feel. It matters how we walk by faith and not by sight. Lay hold of the promise of God and hang on to it. Come on in the house now. Praise God, it's preaching time. I want to ask you something. Did God tell us to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes? Or did God not tell us to do that. If he didn't, then we better stop what we're doing. But if he told us that 3 years ago, brother, we better lengthen our cords and strengthen our stake, because now is the time to do it. You see, faith never acts on blindness. Faith always acts upon a promise from the Word of God. Always on a promise from the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you make decisions on how you feel, rather than getting an answer from this book, huh? May I say to you that feelings can be deceitful? Isaac's feelings deceived him. But I'm going to tell you that Bible will never deceive anybody. Come on in the house now. I'm glad, thank God, that we've got a book. The Word of God, that all in it is yea, and there are no nays with God. And when God issues a promise from this book, friend, I'll guarantee you He'll see you through it. When He told Israel to come out of Egypt, did He not part the waters of the Red Sea? Oh, yes. When He told Joshua to encamp by Gilgal on the Jordan River, did He not part the waters of the Jordan River? When God told Joshua to march around the wall, the city of Jericho, did the walls not fall down flat? Oh, yes, they did. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you act upon a promise of God, friend, you just mark it down. God will bring it to pass. There may be some snags and stumps. There may be a little battle to fight. But I'm going to tell you, no war was ever fought without casualties. No battle was ever won without casualties. And wounds. And some of you may be wounded through this thing, but I'm telling you that if God's told us to go, march into the battle and trust God, and I'll guarantee you God will bring us out on the other side. Especially if we're standing on the promises of this book. Now I want to show you something. I want to show you where Peter's faith failed here. The Lord had just told Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. But when he got shut up in a corner, he relied on his feelings rather than the faith that Jesus told him would not fail him, and he failed right there in the judgment hall. Because he depended on his feelings rather than depending on his faith. And he departed from the promise that God gave him that his faith would fail not. But it failed. Hallelujah. I wonder if anybody's listening this morning. Praise God. Amen. Feelings can be deceitful. Rely on the Word of God. That Bible said in Romans 15:14, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May I say that feelings bring or lead to disobedience. Our dear brother Saul, King Saul, God told him to go to the Amalekites and utterly destroy them all. Women, children, sucklings, everything. Destroy all the cattle. Destroy everything. And when he came back, Samuel met him. And Saul bragged about how he had done the will of God. Samuel said, if you've done the will of God, what's the bleating of the sheep that I hear? Said, oh, the people saved the best of the flock. As the people saved the best of the flock. In other words, the people said, come on, Saul, it'll be all right. It'll be all right to take the best of the flock if we use them for sacrifice for God. But I'm telling you, he went on his feelings, ladies and gentlemen, rather than his faith and the promise God had told him or the commandment God had given him. And I'll tell you what happened. He disobeyed God. Come on in the house now. And his disobedience led to his death. You know it's a serious thing, this thing of serving God. It's a serious matter. It's not something to be taken lightly. I'm talking about if you earnestly and seriously want to commit yourself to Christ and live for God, it's a serious matter. So many times we'll lean on our feelings. The Lord said to old Saul, said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? God had told him to destroy everything. And by the way, come on in the house and get a hold of this if you can. I'll just throw this out at you. The Lord told Saul to destroy everything through Samuel the prophet. Through the man of God, he said, this is what we want to do. And Samuel said, this is what God said to do. And Saul didn't do it. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I'm telling you what God's told us to do. You can oppose it if you want to, but I'm telling you, you're on dangerous ground with God if you do. Somebody said, oh, you're just trying to get what you want. No, I'm trying to get you convinced to get what God wants us to have.
Amen.
Amen. If you can stand up and tell me when it's wrong to preach the gospel, we'll sit down and quit. You can tell me when it's wrong to witness to somebody, we'll sit down and quit. Preaching's always right. Testifying about the grace of God to sinners is always right. Witnessing to sinners is always right. Doing the will of God is always right. Did He not say go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Amen. Sunday, some of them is not going to hear it unless they hear it on the radio. Had a fellow that's up here in the county jail, wrote Brother Smith a few weeks ago and said, I've been listening to your radio broadcast. Is there some way you can bring me a Bible up here? Apparently nobody else had reached that man, but a radio signal went into that jail. Aren't you glad that a signal from our radio station can penetrate the walls of the jails and the prison houses and the nursing homes and places where people are incarcerated and bedfast and preach the gospel to them as well as anybody else? Amen. We can go where no man has ever dared to go before. Hallelujah. So feelings can lead to be deceitful. And feelings can lead to disobedience. And feelings can lead to denial. Surely you're one of them. Well, I don't know that man. About an hour later, surely you are one of them. You're a Galilean. I said, I know not the man. And you turn to Mark and read Mark's gospel. And that third time when they said, surely you know him, the Bible said that he began to curse and to swear and said, I don't know the man. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that his feelings led him to not only deny the Lord, but to swearing and cursing and sinning even more against the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, you better be careful. You better be careful. I'm telling you that the Christian faith is something that should be taken very seriously. I'm afraid a lot of people take it so haphazardly. Are you listening? Just take it so haphazardly. That God loves me, whoop whoopy doo. No matter what I do, God's going to love me anyway. It don't work that way. God might love you, but God can also cut you off, friend. And He will. There's a lot of people who don't like my preaching, and I don't blame them. I've heard them say, well, you're just mean and you're too serious about everything. I thought a man's soul was something to be serious about. I thought heaven and hell is something to be serious about. There's some of you parents in here, you get riled when I try to tell you where your children are going astray, and you ain't got enough sense to realize I'm trying to help you. I am trying to help you because I might see something you're not able to see.
Amen.
I'm not in your family. I'm up here watching it.
Amen.
Now, I'm seeing some of you kids dressed like infidels. When you're not in the house of God, come on in the house. God, help us. Well, God loves them. Yeah, God loves them. I'll tell you what, God will let you do what you want to do. But you ain't going to stop God from doing what He wants to do when He gets ready to do it either, friend.
Amen.
That's right. Now, I won't mention this. I've got two more little points. I'm about done. Somebody said, I wish it was done now. Well, it's been difficult morning. Singing was difficult. Preaching has been a little difficult. But I want you to notice verse number 55. The Bible said when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. So not only was there fear between Peter and his Lord, not only was there feelings between Peter and his Lord, he's falling afar off. The farther off you are, the more things ease their way in. And generally, the more things that ease their way in, they begin to wedge their way in, and the list grows longer and longer and longer and longer. And the division is greater and greater and greater. But I see one more thing here. It may not sound like much to you, but I looked at it and studied it out. There was a fire between him and the Lord. They kindled a fire, and Peter sat down beside of it. Sat down, not only sat down beside of it, he sat down among them. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. There is a fire. A holy fire. That ought to be burning in our soul, every one of us. Just like that fire burned in that bush that Moses saw and it wasn't consumed. That was a holy fire of God burning in a bramble bush atop of a sinner. That fire, that holy fire was burning in that sinner. We all ought to have a holy fire of grace and holiness burning in our soul today. Like them boys walking on the road to Emmaus. Brother Gray said he might preach on them roads. Them two boys, them fellas walking on that road to Emmaus. And you can believe what you want. I believe one of them was Peter. But I'm going to tell you in the same chapter, when they came back to the upper room, one of them said, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon.
Amen.
I'm not sure one of them wasn't Simon Peter. I don't know, but I think it might have been. But they was walking along that road, and the Lord talking to them, they didn't know who he was. But when he broke bread and prayed, their eyes were open, their understanding was open, they knew it was the Lord, and the Lord departed out of their sight. And they said, did not our heart burn within us?
Amen.
While he spoke along the way, but I want to show you something here.
Amen.
I've never heard another preacher, maybe you have, maybe you've been saved longer than I have, maybe you know more about the Bible than I do, but I've never heard another preacher preach on this. But I'm telling you, that wasn't a fire that warmed the spirit of Peter. That was a fire that enraged his flesh, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He sat down to warm his body.
Amen.
He sat down to warm his flesh.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, there is an ungodly fire that enrages the flesh of man and stirs up the flesh of man and causes the flesh of man to deny his God.
Amen.
I see that went over like a lead balloon, but that's true. That's true. If you don't believe I'm telling it right, what about, hey, Brother Matthias told me that he drove down through Bowling Green the other day, said they had a school, the university was out there raising money, said they had several little girls out there with their pom-poms, and said there's a bending over dancing, said you could see their whole hind end when they straightened up, all their top anatomy was exposed to everybody. And I'm going to, somebody said, well, what are you getting at? I'm going to tell you what that is. That is a fire.
Amen.
That will enrage the flesh.
Amen.
Of young men or old men alike that look at that stuff.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there is a fire that will enrage our flesh. And it will overcome our faith. And our feelings will lead us into sin against God and separate between us and our God.
Amen.
Listen to what I'm telling you, friend. Amen. That fire. That fire had come between him. It warmed the flesh. It warmed the flesh. Spiritually speaking, when the flesh becomes overheated, it gets out of control. Samson's flesh got overheated and got out of control. Herodias, the hellcat's flesh, got overheated and she got out of control. Come on in the house now. You think your flesh ain't something to deal with? You think you've arrived and you've conquered your flesh? You're not wise. Oh, Peter sat down by that amongst that lost crowd. Began to listen to their filthy jokes. Their criticism, I wonder if they were mocking Christ. I'll guarantee you sat down amongst those that mocked and scolded the precious name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Sat down with that crowd that hated him and began to warm his flesh with them. And he drifted right into their same conversation. Surely you're one of them. Oh, not me, not me. Not me, I'm not one of them. Listen carefully now. The radical sense of fire is usually to rush or to rage, to be violently agitated. I got that out of Webster's 1828. And here Peter was definitely agitated. You don't think he was enraged?
Amen.
When he began to swear and to curse?
Yes, sir.
Say, I don't know the man. You don't think that he was enraged? You don't think that his flesh was in control here? All because he sat down with the wrong fire.
Amen.
I can say a lot of things, but I won't. I can say a lot of things about that. That which inflames or irritates the passions. That's another definition of the word fire. That's in the dictionary, ladies and gentlemen. Ardor of temper. Do you think Peter's temper got carried away with him? You know when our temper flares? It's flesh. When we get agitated and irritated and get despisable in our language to one another, that's flesh. It's because we've been had our hands over the wrong fire. Brother Matthias, you know how Brother Matthias is. And he called me this morning. We was talking about something. He said, I'm going to tell you what people need to do. He said, bless God, they need to seal their lips with super glue.
Amen. Yeah.
I thought, amen.
Amen.
Was every word you ever idle word out of your mouth, you're going to give an account for it?
Amen.
A lot of times it's better off just to keep our mouth shut than it is
amen.
To speak up.
Amen.
Say something to get us in trouble with God. Folks get mad, upset over some of the little old puniest things.
Amen.
And it's flesh, folks.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what gets the people right here more than anything else is when somebody says something about your children.
Amen.
That's a touchy spot with this church. When somebody says something about your child. But I'm going to tell you something, Mom and Daddy, and you hear what I'm telling you real well. Your children don't act around other people like they do around you.
Amen.
They let it all hang out when they get around somebody
Amen.
Else. In fact, some of them in here have been guilty of saying, you ain't my boss. I don't have to listen to nothing you say.
Amen.
I've never had one of them say it to me.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you what I would do if they did. I'd take them to their parent. And I'd tell that parent, I expect you to discipline that child.
Amen.
Period. In my presence.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, but we'll let our flesh get agitated and
enraged, outraged.
Amen.
Right. That's because we've been sitting around the wrong fire.
Amen.
Now I'm about done. That word fire even means to cause to explode.
Amen.
Do you think Peter exploded? I don't know the man.
Amen.
And he began to curse and swear. He exploded.
Amen.
Now I'm closing with this. There's one more thing. His fear, his feelings, the fire. And there's one more thing that got between Peter and his Lord, him following afar off, that I find in the Scripture. Was his foes.
Amen.
His foes.
Amen.
But I said, preacher, I'd never let the foes, the enemy of Christ, get between me and the Lord. I don't know if this person's listening to the radio. I really hope not, but the Lord laid on my heart, so I'm going to say it. Here's what was told several years ago. A man in this church, two men in this church. And one of them kicked out, and the other one stayed for a long time. Then the other one got with another group of conspirators, and they were going to put me out of this church. And here's what that man said. He said, I ain't never letting any preacher stand between me and my friend. Dangerous.
Amen.
Now, I want to say in all honesty, that man that said that has come to me in tears and repented and asked forgiveness.
Amen. Amen.
If you're not careful, you will let the enemies of Christ get between you and him, friend.
Amen. Amen. Right.
And I'm going to tell you, the remedy for it all is what Peter did. When Christ, all Jesus, and you got to commend him, because he was yet so tender-hearted. Although he had sinned that much against God, Jesus didn't have to say a word. He just turned and looked at him.
Right.
And Peter knew.
Yep.
Peter knew. The Bible said that he went out. He first thing he did is he left that crowd.
Amen.
And then he wept bitterly. Nothing between me and my Savior. Is there anything between you and him this morning? And I could have probably come up with a dozen more things. But I think I mentioned the things that text applies to that text of Scripture. And I think I've biblically preached it. Is there anything between you and him this morning? Can I say this? If there's anything between you and another Christian, there's something between you and Christ.
Right.
Anything between you and anybody else? Ought not be. Ought never to be anything between any people. Let's stand together, please.